told a woman, there at the well, this water will not satisfy. But I'm living water, and if you will drink, I'll always be flowing inside. Then she who was lonely and empty within drank until she was filled. She hurried back home and told everyone, come see what I found at the well. I found living water for my thirsty soul. He told me that I'd never thirst anymore. I have joy beyond measure. Words cannot tell all this treasure I found at the well. I still remember, just like she did, how it feels to be empty inside. Alone I had wondered, not realizing the well was there all the time. Then I found that water one night at an altar, and my empty cup was filled. I needed refreshing, and oh, what a blessing I got when I went to the well. I found living water for my thirsty soul. He told me that I'd never thirst anymore. I have joy beyond measure. Words cannot tell all this treasure I found at the well.
This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening, and we trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we come to you in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day you've given us, this opportunity to be here on the radio. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and your way. I do pray for each and every one of the listeners, those that's joined us. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them for Jesus' sake. Thank you for them, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the children's homes, the mission work, and everything that you put upon our heart to do. Lord, just bless it with thy presence, Lord. God, I do come to you one more time. Ask you to bless the listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. We'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania. And we've got a few issues going on in one of them as far as being able to get the financial support to them, the way they've changed some of the laws in India. And so if you would make that a matter of prayer, and would greatly appreciate that. And it seemed like everything is set up to fight against the church, fight against the Bible, fight against prayer, fight against the Lord. But I know that the Lord is able to take care of these things, and we're going to try to trust him. But I wanted to mention that maybe you'd make it a matter of prayer. Help us to pray for these things. And then also, if you would, continue to pray for all of the work. Pray for the missionaries, especially those in the Ukraine right now, the things they're going through, things they're seeing, folks in need. As the war proceeds and goes on, each time you think, well, it might be the last time that this person or that person hears the gospel. And pray that the Lord would just really open the hearts of the people. I read a newsletter from a couple of those missionaries the other day and said many were getting saved right now. Many have come to the place where their hearts are open, and we're truly grateful for that. I hate the war is going on, but it'd be better to go through this war, find out about Jesus, get saved by the grace of God, and get forgiven and make it to heaven, instead of the alternative, which is not to have the war and live your life out and never know the Lord and go to hell for all eternity. And I appreciate the Lord opening these hearts. whatever it is that takes place that causes a person to come to him, that's the best thing that'll ever happen. And if you would, pray for these folks, pray for these missionaries. We'd greatly appreciate it. Then if you would, I want to give you our mailing addresses, ask you to write us this week if you can. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we trust you'll enjoy the message.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to be home. It just means it's good to come back and be where you know that it started and where it's going out of. And we did have a good time. We were in 26 meetings in 16 days. And actually in about 13 days, because about three of those days were spent going over there and coming back. But it was good, and I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I was thinking about this. Brother Harmon, I think he's going to preach on this Sunday morning. I don't know what scripture he's going to use or none of that. But some things that we've seen over there, we got to talking about it. I want to talk a few minutes about crying to get in. That's what we've seen over there. I mean, we've seen it. People crying to get in. And you know, I was thinking that tears get people's attention. They get God's attention. And they get people's attention. You know, if you ever... You can be in a room full of people and everything can be going on, and then a person starts crying and everybody looks that way. Everybody starts looking at them because somebody's crying. Either somebody's tore up so bad that they're crying, or they're so happy that... And everybody wants to know when they see tears what's going on. Is something wrong? Or is that person just happy in the Lord? Or are they feeling bad? Do they have a burden? And tears get attention. And I just want to read a couple of verses here, and we'll look in some other, in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Paul the Apostle writing this, the Holy Ghost of God speaking through him, said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I mean, every time Paul prayed, he remembered this young man, Timothy, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I mean, he was remembering Timothy's tears. And he thought, if I can see you again and see those tears, I'll get filled with joy. And we saw a lot of people feel, it's like Brother Harmon said, he said, I've never seen, said these women over here, said they've got an inner beauty, these believers, like I've never seen. He said, when they start worshiping God, I mean, they just glow. They're so hungry and they're for the gospel, and they're so happy, and they cry and they praise God. One woman, she said, I'm 73 years old, but I feel like I'm 13. She said, since God saved me. She said, I feel like a young girl. Said, I'm 73, but I feel like I'm 13 again. And tears get people. He said, I'm mindful of thy tears. And you can remember times when people cried and it gets a hold of you. I've heard a lot of preachers say, you know, that maybe back in Noah's day that the people were crying to get in the ark. I don't really believe that. I mean, I believe they were crying to get to a mountaintop. But those people back, that's done too far gone. They didn't want God. They didn't even know. They knew not till the flood came. They had 120 years to cry to get to God. But that's about like America is tonight. They're not crying to get in. They're just trying to get away and just enjoy everything but God. But we just came back from a land where they're crying to get in. I mean, crying to get in. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 2. When's the last time you seen somebody crying to get in? And I'm not trying to fuss at you tonight. Lord God, if I wanted to fuss at anybody, I'd fuss at myself. Because I ain't crying to get in more. I mean, I want what some of them people got. They got such a hunger for God, you can't stop them. I mean, if they stump their toe, they're not going to stay out of the meeting. They're going to wrap it up and hobble to the meeting. They're crying to get in. And we've seen this happen in Mark chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together. And as soon as you come in a village over there, you don't have to have had a scheduled meeting. I mean, all you got to do is honk the horn on the van, and a couple of little kids see you, and they'll go running, and they'll just come. As soon as they find out you're there, they're there. They come. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. I mean, there was so many they couldn't even get in the door. The door was crammed full. And I'm telling you, we've seen that at least 10 times in 26 meetings where they couldn't even get in the door. They were standing outside in 40 degree weather. I'm talking about young people listening out in Savorvo and other places, wanting to get in. No, not so much as about the door. And thank God for this next statement. And he preached the word unto them. That's what's doing the job over there. I mean, he preached the word, and that's what gets the job. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, I mean, when some people get some faith, they'll come to get in. I mean, they'll be wanting in. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And we seen some people get their sins forgiven while we was there. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And you know, that's happening over there. The legalists over there, little crowd running around, they say, well, Brother Ralph, he's not right. Because he accepts anybody in his services. He lets sinners come. He lets people come that ain't living right. Well, Lord God, there ain't nobody in this church tonight living right. Did any of y'all live right this week? Don't tell me you're living right. I know my flesh ain't been living right. I was over there right in the middle of the glory for 2.5 weeks, and my flesh still wasn't living right. And I don't suspect it's ever going to. Well, I thought that's what the whole gospel was about, receiving sinners and getting them saved and getting them some help. But I read that because that reminds me of the people trying to get in. I want to tell you about 3 meetings we had just at one pastor's house. Brother Yashar's. Pastor Yashar. His wife is Aisha. And they've been traveling with Ralph, I guess, since 1993. Last year I was there, they went every day. He's the one that one time Ralph told some of them he was there, Yashar and Aisha, said, you're going to have to rest some. Said, I want you to take a day and stay home. You've been going too much and you need to rest. That's back when we was going out every day in the villages. And he said, on a certain day, I want you to rest. And before that day came, Yashar came to Brother Ralph and he said, well, we'll rest. We'll do what you said. We'll rest that day and won't do nothing. But said, do you mind if we go to the village with you while we're resting? And Yashar, he didn't know much at first. I mean, but he got in that Bible. Ralph just finally told him, you just need to get in that Bible. And he started reading it and reading it. And now they have a prayer meeting at his house every morning. Got about 40 or 50 young people coming. Have 3 services a week in the evenings. Now they've started a men's service. Because some of the men won't come when the women come. Just something about their culture or something. But we were in 3 meetings there. First meeting we had, we had to have 2 meetings because the room was so full, about 70 people in there, that some of the young people and some of the older people that got there late, they were sitting in the next room and couldn't hear. There wasn't really a way they could hear. And They wanted a meeting, so they waited for 2 hours while we had the first meeting, and then Ralph had a second meeting. That's what happened the first night we was there. And I mean young people, teenagers, waiting 2 hours just because they wanted to sing a few songs and hear some testimonies. And that night, in the first meeting, Willie got happy and got to praying, standing up praying and shouting. I mean, we was praying after some preaching, and he sat back down, and there was a teenage girl. I mean, she got loaded up. She started trying to talk, and she just broke down crying. And what happened with this girl and a few of the girls that are coming there now, they were walking by one day, and Aisha, the wife, said, "We want you to come to meeting." I said, "Oh, we can't come to meeting. We're going to the disco." And she said, "Well, you can still come to meeting." They said, "No, we can't come to church because we go to the disco." They said they won't let us in. And that's what those legalists have been preaching. You couldn't come to church if you... She said, "No," said, "you need to come. We won't." And they came and got to hearing the hymns, and the hymns got a hold of them, and they ain't been to the disco since that day. I mean, they quit going to the disco and started coming to the prayer meetings. And that girl got to crying, and she said, while he was praying, talking about Willie, said, "I felt something." And she said, "I want what he's got. I want that." And I mean, her and another girl, some others, got all tore up. That was the first meeting. The second meeting, in the evening we had a couple days later, the room was full. I mean, it's cold outside, real cold, so you had to keep the door shut. And those girls got there a little late, and they're sitting in the side room, and I mean, if you stand up and take a step, you're going to step on somebody. That's how packed they are together. And all of a sudden, Yashar said, "I've got to let these girls in over here in this room," because somebody came to the door and tapped on it and told him, said, "You better let them in. They're over here crying their eyes out. They want to be in that meeting and they want to be back in there." And that's where we got this thought, crying to get in. I mean, two teenage girls. I mean, they cried for 5 minutes after they got in the room. There's been Satora. They're sitting right in front of us, just a couple of things. And I mean, just crying their eyes out, wanting to get in. And I thought, Lord, help. I need some of that. You reckon you need some of that? You reckon I'd have a lot more God on me and in me and around me if I was doing some crying to get some things from God, if I'd get really tore up? I mean, have you ever really got tore up about getting to God? Reckon some of you young people that are wondering why you ain't got no God on you, or some of you that still ain't got saved yet, reckon how are you going to answer to God when a bunch of little Turks that ain't got nothing? I mean, they're lucky if they got enough clothes to wear and a half a loaf of bread to eat today, and they're crying to get in the church, bawling their eyes out. And we're going to say, well, I felt a little bad, so I didn't come. And I was going to try not to say nothing like that tonight, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. God help you. And if that kills your meeting, maybe your meeting needs to get killed so God can resurrect you. God help you. I mean, you ought to go over there. Just go. Get your ticket. Ralph will be glad to see you. Go and watch them. And then come back and think of some of our excuses that we have. That's the second meeting at that house. The third meeting we had, I think, on Tuesday night. Wednesday was the last day we went to meetings because we flew out of there. When did we fly out of there? Tuesday was the last night. We flew out of there Wednesday. This was Monday night. And we went back and we had the meeting. I mean, they're shouting it out, crying, praying. And then after the service, we started walking up towards the van, and somebody said, "No, we ain't leaving yet. We got to go up here to this house." Now, up on the hill where Yashar's at, there's some Turks that live on up the hill that have a little bit more money than the others. Now, I mean, they consider them rich. The person with the least amount of money in here tonight is richer than them. But you know what I'm saying? Over there in that section, they're considered rich. And we go up there to this apartment, and there's a man and his wife and the grandmother the mother of the wife had been coming to the meetings, and she had talked to them, and they had sent for Ralph. I mean, I felt like I was sitting right in the middle of Acts chapter 10 where Cornelius sent for Peter to come. And boy, they come in there, and I mean, they were dressed nicer than most Turks. And these two young ladies of the house, one of them was married and had a couple small children. I mean, dressed nice looking young ladies. And they started clearing off the table and made us real comfortable. And they brought out some coffee. And I mean, she just wanted everything to be just right. And I thought, well, I didn't know yet exactly what was going on. And then they were going to feed us. But before they were going to feed us, they said, we've been wanting to hear from you because we believe that y'all are true believers. And the father had been to some Pentecostal meetings over there and had sort of been looking a couple of years ago for God. But they'd told him, no, if you won't come to church, you can't go to no funerals if the person wasn't in our church that died. You can't go to no weddings. And he had given some children, helped some children. When the children would come around and sing songs, and he'd give them stuff. And they said, no, you ought not do that because they're not singing the right songs. And that finally tore him up, and he just quit going. He said, this is just too much. I can't do all this stuff these people are saying. So he started telling a little bit about that, and Ralph said, no, we're not like that. We preach the grace of God. We believe that Jesus did it all. You can be free and be saved. And that man started listening, those young ladies, and they said, well, we want you to pray for us. I mean, it was a small room, maybe about 8 by 9, with couches in it and everything, so we had to sort of bunch up. And it sort of wound up where the missionaries and ourselves, we were facing one way, looking towards them, and they're facing towards us. And they get down, and I mean, just as humble as they can be. Those people get right down into your knees and say, I want you to pray for me. I got this problem. And they were just so humble. I mean, they just wanted us to pray for them. And we got to praying. And Ralph said, now let's be a little easy now. You know, these people ain't never been around none of this. And we just got to praying, and the Lord come in there. And I looked up, and both those young ladies are down on their knees, tears just running down their face. And they told us, they said afterwards, one of them had to leave. She couldn't quit crying, and it embarrassed her. She didn't even understand what had happened to her. I mean, the power of God had come. And I'm talking about, these were lost people, wanting, sending for the preacher. And she had to leave. And the other one said, well, we sent for y'all because we knew that there's real believers down there. And said, we've been wanting to know how to believe. And when we left, Ralph said, well, God can save the rich too. And I thought about those girls crying to get in. Ralph said, y'all just keep on praying. We'll be back and see you. You know, we'll tell you more about it. You just keep on seeking God. And everywhere I went, I seen people crying. Achmet, he cries when you get there. He cries while you're there. Then when he hugs your neck the day you're leaving, he cries again. This other old fella that used to be a drunk, his name's Solly, we used to call him Columbo because he looks like a little bit like Peter Falk. I mean, he used to be rough. I mean, he still looks pretty rough. But he came in the meeting and seen us, and boy, he grabbed my hand. He just wouldn't let go of it and started crying and just weeping and sat there and weeped the whole service. And I mean, they're crying to get in over there. And we ought to be rejoicing. That all started right here. I mean, do you realize that there's a nation of people, Turks in Romania and Bulgaria? I mean, they may be in Romania, but they're Turks. A nation of people, the Millet Turks, that are over there. And because God sent the gospel from here, they're crying all over the place. And they're not crying because they're mad or upset that Christian. They're crying to get in. They're begging. They're still begging. One lady came by one night and she told Brother Ralph, said, come to our village now. Don't forget to come to our village and tell us she had come from another village. And I was thinking about this tonight, and I looked it up in 2 Kings, and I'll be through in just a minute. First time tears are mentioned in the Bible. God sent word by Isaiah to Hezekiah that he was going to die. said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, not live. Verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And then in verse 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, Isaiah's told him, you set your house in order, you're going to die. Thus saith the Lord. And before he can even get out of the outer court that's around that castle, Hezekiah's already got a hold of God. Hezekiah changed God's mind. You say, well, God don't change his mind. Well, I know God changes not. It says he changeth not. But he changed his mind. Hezekiah was going to die. You say, well, what changed his mind? Look in verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. That's the first mention of tears in the Bible. He said, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. I heard a man say one time, tears are a language that God understands. And I believe that. Hezekiah changed the Lord's mind right here. And he said, I'll heal thee, and then you go to the house of the Lord. And they've had testimony after testimony after testimony over there of people that have come and said, I heard a singing tape, or somebody told me about it, or I got a gospel, and I was sick, or this was wrong, my family was messed up, and I prayed, and then the Lord appeared to me. And I mean, take that however you want to. They can't read and write. They say the Lord appeared to me, maybe in a dream, they say, or something, and you can do with that whatever you want. I really don't care anymore. I mean, just cut it all to pieces when you get the tape. Go ahead. I mean, cut it up and all that, and God will just keep on doing it. And then you can answer for your criticism at the judgment seat of Christ, okay? But they've had a bunch of them come and say, God appeared to me in a dream. Or God appeared to me in a vision and told me, I'm going to heal you, or I'm going to help your husband, or I'm going to help your boy that's in prison. But you go find the believers and go to the church, and they'll tell you what to do. And they come, and Yashar and Aisha, one of the other preachers and their wives, will talk with them and pray with them, and they get saved, and they're still in the church. Say, well, that's not scriptural. It is right here. He said, I've heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. They're crying to get in. And I hope God will give me some more tears to cry to help get them in. I mean, God said, Hezekiah, I've seen your tears. I saw those tears that you cried. I heard your prayer, and I saw your tears. And I believe God sees those Turks crying. And I believe he's seen every tear that's been cried here when people have got tore up about that work. And I believe that's what's keeping it going, is compassion, prayer, and tears, and faith.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.